This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you. The Macoupin County FSA office wishes to remind producers of FSA RMA crop reporting dates in effect for 2015 crop year for fall-seeded small grains, such as wheat, barley, and rye, and perennial forage, such as alfalfa, clover, and other grasses, used for haying and or grazing purposes, must be reported to the Farm Service Agency by Monday, December 15th. Per FSA procedure, farmers with prevented planted crop acreage must file an FSA 578 crop acreage report and complete a CCC 576 notice of prevented plant acres within 15 calendar days after the final planting date of October 31st for wheat acres. Therefore, producers have till Monday, November 17th, to timely file a prevented planted wheat application since November 15th falls on a weekend. Late-filed prevented planting wheat requests will require a $46 late filing fee per farm. For additional details, you can contact the Macoupin County FSA office at 217-854-2626. With the wet fall we've been having, there is a question as to how many wheat acres will be seeded this year. I spoke with market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman.
Well, it certainly is not, and we saw it play out in the USDA's crop progress report that came out on Monday afternoon. We are making some progress, not as fast as what we'd like. The biggest problems continue to be in the Midwest, of course, where the rains have hampered and slowed the harvest progress, and now farmers face the question, how late do they want to put their wheat in? It looks like we're going to have a cold push come into the Midwest and drop the crop into dormancy by mid-November without having a lot of growth to it. That's certainly not going to help. Ironically, the Plains hard red winter wheat belt has been too dry. They have received some showers. I think the trade, and myself included, thought that that would boost crop ratings more than it did, but we actually saw Oklahoma, for example's ratings dropped significantly this week as dryness continues to be a problem in some areas, whereas in the Midwest we're seeing ratings drop because of being excessively wet. So overall, wheat ratings are still very near average for this time of year, but with a slight downtick and not as good a conditions as what we would have thought they would have been looking at the weather.
And there was also some snow over in the northern states.
Certainly was. In fact, we had some snowflakes falling in northern Illinois in recent days, as well as across much of the northern part of the country. And so it's just a reminder of the change of season that is upon us. The question is, what impact is that going to have on the late harvest? We have seen quite a bit of corn going down with the high winds in the state of Illinois. That is certainly a concern. It slows the harvest down some more, increases harvest losses. As I mentioned, we're looking at wheat going dormant without having adequate growth. That doesn't mean that we're going to see reduced yields. It just leaves us more vulnerable to winter kill. If we would get some harsh cold in this winter without snow cover, that's the big question that we have before us. Will all this be enough to rally the wheat market? Probably not anytime soon. Wheat demand is really suffering right now because of the strength of the U.S. dollar trading at four-year highs. It really makes us uncompetitive, and so I think the traders are going to increasingly focus on that. Is that the weather a threat to the wheat crop? Yes, it is, but it's very difficult to get traders to focus on that. This time of year, that tends to be more of an issue as we get into February and March.
Again, that was market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman. That's all for part one of this afternoon's farm show. Stay tuned for part two coming up after this.
You're living comfortably. That is to say that your bills and your paycheck pretty much balance out with a little bit left over. But what if your income were to stop due to a disability? Would your family be financially secure? Would you be prepared? The answer is yes if you have disability income insurance from Country Financial. It helps take care of your bills while you're disabled and is guaranteed renewable to age 65 or retirement if earlier. Best of all, it leaves you with just one thing to concentrate on, getting well. Find out more today from me, Wayne Schaefer, your Country Financial representative in Jerseyville.
Carlinville Truck Equipment makes industrial rollback equipment loaders, and because of this, they have the equipment and expertise to fix or fabricate just about anything metal around your business or farm. If you need truck or trailer repair, hoist or winch service, custom fabrication, or stock metal, call Carlinville Truck Equipment at 217-854-6706 or log on to ctemi.com. Carlinville Truck Equipment, 217-854-6706.
How would you like to have your own lobbyist, a legislative watchdog, looking out for your interests? If you belong to Illinois Farm Bureau, you already have one, a whole staff, in fact, because Illinois Farm Bureau keeps track of legislative actions, fights property tax increases, and stays in touch with Illinois lawmakers, bringing issues affecting farmers and landowners to the forefront and protecting farmers year-round in the state government. Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value.
The University of Illinois Extension Office held a cover crop field day today. Jerry Spinner of Hillsboro is doing mitigation work in the coal mining area and spoke about cover crop usage on impacted farmland.
What we've had in the fields is we've used a variety of different cover crops. We're trying to look for the farmer's sake of what different crops will work better for them, what works better for tillage. We're looking at being able to maintain soil and water quality as well as wind erosion on the areas that have been out in this area where we've actually mined. So we're trying to look at it as we're making everything work together and improving water quality and air quality.
And how have the fields been affected by having the mine under them? Can you give the environment that you guys are coming into with putting these cover crops on?
Well, our first challenge is, of course, to make the drainage work correctly, and we do a lot of land leveling and level the ground to make the surface drainage work the best we can. Now, when we do the land leveling, we're looking at the amount of cover and compaction we may have in the soil. So by using the cover crops, it gives us the ability to start letting roots grow in and break up the soil underneath so that we can bring this production of the soil back and the land back as quick as we can, which we're hoping to look at something of we'd like to see a yield increase, not a yield decrease by any means.
And you did say that the land has dropped about 6 feet, in some cases 6.5 feet. So I do believe that it is very important to get land levelers out here and try to make everything work well for surface drainage. So the cover crops are really working to help break up compaction that is a result of getting the surface drainage working?
Yeah, our surface drainage, when it dropped and we used land levelers, we smeared the ground and then compacted it back. We tried to do it in the summer when there was less compaction. There was a lot of situations out here. When we look at a farmer's field, we ask them what is the area that their poorest drainage is, and then we try to correct that either with tile, leveling, ditches, whatever it takes to make it better. The cover crops is just the added bonus, and it's a good way to manage your micronutrients in the area.
And I know it's not like this cover crop practice has been going on for years upon years to have a good study of, but from what you've seen so far, how do you think they're doing?
I think our stands are well. We had a little bit of a challenge this year with October being as wet as it was. We wasn't able to get good growth with the cool and wet. The cover crops I've been looking at ever since the late 70s and used it on my own farm when I was farming to build up the fields in that area. I know it's a proven practice that it can help, and we need all the tools we can.
And for those who are interested in looking into cover crops, based on your years of experience, where would you say that they are going to start noticing the most benefits? Why would you encourage them to do it? And do you have words of caution?
The ability not to take on too much at a time. I would look at the fields that have the most potential for erosion, the poorest soils that you're getting yield production out of, because they will help add the yield back. Everything we need to do and look at is to rebuild our factories that we have out here as the fields. The fields are our factories to work with, so we need to figure out ways we can rebuild it. Start on the fields that need it the worst. The ones that are giving you good yield and results would be the last place, but it's actually the easiest way to establish these crops and stuff. But most people try to look at the area that is the most needed.
All right, very good. Anything else about the cover crop field day you'd like to add before we go here?
Didn't realize it was going to be this big a turnout and this many people was going to show up. We're just glad that people come out to take a look at the different options we have. The other thing that I really appreciate, the farmers that are out here and the knowledge that's out here, is for them to give us feedback of things, hey, I think I would like to see this done, or what if you did this? Tweaking what we do can only make it better, and the eyes that we have out here is always helpful. So we're always interested in people stopping by or giving me a call to give us some better ideas.
Again, that was Jerry Spinner of Hillsboro speaking about cover crop usage on farmland that has been affected by coal mining. That's all for this afternoon's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.